appreciate her standing in at the last minute. And Linda Hathaway was going to be here to play piano, and she got called to work late, and Brother Kelly was not feeling well. So we go with whoever we have, and we thank the Lord that we have some Minutemen in the bunch. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to bring a message tonight that is a follow-up to the messages that we've been dealing with on Wednesday evenings over the last few weeks. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read a portion that comes from what has been historically called the Hall of Faith. And so, as we look at this, I want us to understand that as we read these verses of Scripture, this is a follow-up to a series of messages that were designed to lead believers away from any dependence, away from any confidence in the flesh. Paul said in Philippians 3, we are of the circumcision who worship God in spirit and in truth and have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, Paul said, I can't trust myself apart from Christ. And we have said that the flesh, generally in the Word of God, can be defined as all that I am apart from Christ as I function in my self-sufficiency. It's not just this body, but it's the fleshly or the carnal thought processes that lead me to make the decisions and pursue the actions that the carnally minded person would pursue. And so, since we're not having any confidence in the flesh, and we saw that the flesh was weak, that they that are in the flesh, the Bible said in Romans 8, cannot please God. We saw that the flesh profiteth nothing. In John chapter 6, we see that it leaves you in a dilemma because the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There in Galatians 5:17. So it's always going to be a dilemma whenever the flesh is involved. It's going to lead you to frustration. The Bible tells us that the flesh is weak. Amen. And I was talking to Brother John Scholes the other day, and he said, if you really wonder if the flesh is weak, all you really need to do is look at Kevin Marcus. He paid me $5 to say that. That's not true, man. I'm teasing. He's got to go take care of him now. But the flesh is weak, isn't it? Now, some people think that their flesh is stronger than somebody else's flesh. Okay? But I'm going to say this to you. All it takes is something to happen like that, and your strong flesh can be reduced to nothing. Lee's dad is 6'7", I believe, or 6'6" or 6'7", big guy. You know what? His grandbabies could whip him right now. So it doesn't matter how strong or big or bad we think we are. All it takes is one diagnosis to change everything in your world forever and to show you the frailty of your flesh. I know folks that I could name in our church that right now are afflicted with diseases that if you would have known them 10 or 15 years ago were pictures of absolute health and vitality. Served in the armed services. Were physically fit, and now through disease, their body has withered away to almost nothing. And sometimes we can get to the place where we think we've got more sanctified flesh than somebody else. All of the flesh is corrupt. The Bible calls it in Philippians chapter 3, I believe it's around verse 23, it's vile. It's vile. And it really is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32. And I'm going to title this message before we read this passage, all right? Can I title this for you, Melissa? What we may not want, but we definitely need. What we may not want, but definitely need. Verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I want you to understand some things tonight. What we may not want, but we definitely need. In verse 34, we read these words, out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would use these next few moments to encourage us to lean more wholly upon You. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I believe that we would all just as soon do without trouble. We would all just as soon do without any degree of difficulty in our lives whatsoever. Today, as I was driving over to the hospital with Brother Bird, I was trying to encourage him a little bit. He's been out of work for a couple of weeks and a little concerned about the welfare of his family, the nine people who live at his house. Just trying to encourage him in the Lord. We went to see Brother Mark. And as we were walking out, he said, you know, I sure wouldn't want to trade places with Brother Mark. And sometimes, as bad as we think we may have things, we can always find someone that has it worse. And yet what I understand is that sometimes difficulty comes into our lives. And when it does, I know that it always comes for a specific purpose, because God never does anything to His kids. He does everything for His children. And sometimes God in His infinite wisdom knows that it takes difficulty and trouble to lead us to the place where we will say, apart from You, Lord, I can do nothing. Apart from You, I am nothing. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's what took place in the life of the Apostle Paul. God blessed him with the opportunity to be carried into the third heaven, as it were. And God allowed him to see things that were not lawful for a man to see, and to hear things that were not lawful for a man to hear. And just so that he would not be exalted in his flesh beyond what man would consider to be acceptable, or God would consider to be acceptable, the Lord allowed him to have some trouble in his flesh. He found that he had a thorn in his flesh. Now most people believe that that thorn was a problem with his eyes, a physical infirmity. Whatever it was, I believe that probably was an indication of the problem. I believe that that probably troubled him his whole life through, even to the very end. But let me say that that was for a purpose in his life, that he would learn that strength comes through weakness. Here the Bible gives us names of great heroes, of Gideon, and you say, Gideon was a coward. He was hiding by the wine press, and he was fearful for the Midianites, and he was the least in his tribe and the least of his brethren, and they were poor in Israel. And if anybody had a reason to kind of feel like they were insignificant in the scope of world events, it was Gideon, let alone that he would be used to conquer the most powerful military force on earth with only 300 men, none of whom had a sword on their side. But God used that circumstance to prove that through weakness, what man thinks will fail, God can use mightily and powerfully to receive glory unto Himself. None of us wants to have difficulty. None of us wants to have trouble. We may not want it. Sometimes we need it to remind us of the absolute impotence and bankruptcy of our flesh, so that we, like these men and women named in Hebrews 11, might through weakness, out of weakness, find strength in our God. I want you to notice that this can be very difficult, but God will always be found sufficient when your flesh is insufficient. So I want us to see the difficulty of this. And if you just flip over one page to chapter 13, and as you're turning there, I want you to understand this about the book of Hebrews, that this is a book that was written to persecuted people. This is a book that was written to Hebrews that have been scattered the world over through persecution. They were cast out by their own countrymen. They were despised by the heathen. They were literally in perils constantly. They didn't have a place to hang their hat. They didn't have a place to pillow their head. And the Lord warned them of that because, listen, when He called His disciples, He said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not whereof to lay His head." Now, if you understand that and you want to take up your cross and follow Me, come ahead. These people were now experiencing what Jesus told them during His earthly ministry would be their life if they chose to take up the cross of Christ and follow Him. They lost their jobs. They were physically tortured. They were put into prison. And over again we read it that they had trials of cruel mockings and scourging and bonds and imprisonment. And Paul was writing to these people who are going through these things and encouraging them that others have gone through this before you and have endured by faith. And faith is a dependence upon God. It is a failure of dependence upon self and a decision to depend implicitly upon the Lord God. And here we find some things in verse number 13. So the Bible says in verse number 3, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." This is something they knew about. This was something that they were experiencing. They were experiencing physical persecution, imprisonment, and He was reminding them, to those that had the opportunity to hear and understand this epistle, He's reminding them, while you may not be experiencing this right now, there are others who are. Or maybe you have, and it gives you wisdom to know how to pray for them. And He was calling them to a life of prayer in the behalf of those that were suffering and to sense a biblical empathy, to put yourself in their shoes, if you would. But as we read on, we discover that it says in verse number 10, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach." He was crucified outside of the gate. And now the writer of Hebrews is saying, like Christ, let us be willing to suffer for Christ outside of the camp, so to speak. Out disfellowshipped from our people. Considered to be the offscouring of a world, if you would. For in verse 14, "Here we have no continuing city." He's telling them literally, just as Paul told the Philippian believers who were also suffering, he's saying, look, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Guess what, folks? If you choose to bear the reproach outside of the city gates, as did Jesus Christ, the world isn't going to appreciate you for it. They're not going to send you a thank you letter for being such a good person. In fact, they're going to despise you. They're going to hate you for it. They're going to hold you to a different standard than they would themselves. And when you fall from the standard they set for you, they're going to clap their hands and rejoice. And they're going to punish and persecute you to a level that they would never want anybody to do to them if they fell into the same condemnation. That's the way it works in this world. And if you want to follow Jesus Christ, you got to understand that your flesh isn't strong enough to carry the cross. The difficulty is found here. In verse 15, we see something. It says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." These people were just told that they ought to remember those that are suffering as being bound with Him. And if they suffer that same fate as those that were being persecuted, that it's really an identification with the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ outside of the gate. They're being considered the offscouring of the world. That's what Christianity can expect. And even in these last days, we're going to look for that degree of persecution to come upon the church. And I want you to know it's a difficult thing. And it's more than just difficult, it's an impossible thing for you to face it in your strength. It's an impossible thing for you to face it in your strength. Yesterday, Brother Mark Robeson called me, and I was listening as he began to say, "Pastor, tomorrow is my 20th anniversary." It just broke down weeping. And he said, "I'm in so much pain. And I'm such a mess. And I'm so upset." He said, "It's so hard. I can't take this anymore." And I thought to myself, were I in his shoes, I'm not sure I could have taken it either. But the truth is, apart from Christ, there's nothing that we have the capacity to handle. The problem is we think that we can handle lots of stuff. And all we need God is to do is to kind of give us a little boost every once in a while. To give us a little help in the hard places. But God wants to bring us to the place where we're willing to, out of weakness, discover that He's strong. And it says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise." This is something that's being said to suffering people. Now, it's a great thing and it's a wonderful thing to say, "Praise the Lord, I got a job." It's great to say, "Praise the Lord, I got a clean bill of health from the doctor." Praise the Lord, I got a raise at work. Praise the Lord, I got a new car. Praise the Lord, I got a bigger apartment. And whenever things are going great, we can say praise the Lord. But these people were suffering. And what Paul said is, let's offer up the sacrifice of praise. And I want you to know something. It was too hard for them to do. They couldn't do it. Sometimes people go to church services in different places and they sing praise and worship songs. Okay? Let me ask you a question. A lot of the time when you're going through difficulty, is it real easy for you to just praise the Lord? If you're thinking about it? Yes or no? No. In fact, sometimes we don't really even care to praise Him because we're upset with Him. Because we're having such a hard time. True or false? But this is when praise requires a sacrifice. And that is a sacrifice of our self-will upon the altar that recognizes that I do not have the capacity in the face of this difficulty to do what God has asked me to do. I cannot do it. And that's why God doesn't ask you to do it out of your own strength. It says two words that start verse 15. You ought to highlight them in your Bible. It says, say it out loud with me, by Him. You see it there? By Him, therefore. He's saying, look, you're suffering, you're persecuted, and all these things. By Him, therefore. Since you can't do it, since you're having a hard time, guess what? You can only do it as you depend upon Him. A lot of folks say, Pastor, if you knew my spouse, you'd probably divorce them already or shot them one. You know, I can't love that person. I can't do this thing. And you know what? You are right. You can't. But by Him, you can. By Him, you can. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, I can do how many things? All things through who? Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why do I need strengthening? I'll tell you why. Because I'm weak and I cannot do it without Him. You say, I have a hard time loving my husband. I have a hard time loving my wife. I have a hard time loving my neighbor. Listen, apart from Christ, none of us can do it. And so we've got to come to the place where we recognize, in the face of this difficulty, I must have a dependence upon Christ. I must see the total insufficiency and incapacity of my flesh to do what needs to be done here. And so I come to the Lord in humility, acknowledging my weakness before Him and crying out to God, God, I cannot do this. And so, Lord, would You do through me what I do not have the capacity to do? Would You love my husband through me? Would You show Your love to my angry husband through me? Because I don't have the capacity to love them. And so God, would You love... I'm going to yield myself as a vessel. I don't have it in me. Would You do it through me? I yield myself, Lord. Because I can't do it. Would You love them through me? By Him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise when we're having difficulty. If you would, for a moment, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is a familiar passage of Scripture, but I don't want to just leave you with the difficulty. I want you to see that there has to be a decision. There has to be a decision in the face of this difficulty as to how you're going to deal with this. Are you going to deal with it in your own wisdom and strength? Are you going to try to handle it the same way you always do? You see, that's a choice. And not making a choice is a choice all by itself, isn't it? Right now, our Congress is in a great debate about this bailout and recovery plan for our country's economy. And not to do anything is a choice that they could make, right? And there are consequences no matter what. We know that the Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 12, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." In other words, what he was saying is, lest I should think too much of myself and my flesh. Right? "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." By the way, the title of this message is "What We May Not Want." Paul didn't want it. You hear me? But it was something he definitely needed. Right? And he had to come to terms with all that, didn't he? Because there was a point where he said, "Lord, I don't want this. Take it from me." Have you ever been there? "Lord, I don't like this situation. I don't like this circumstance. I mean, take it away from me." Well, you may not like it, but it may be something that God has brought into your life because you need something. And so it says in verse number 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." Grace is undeserved favor. In other words, it's a gift. And what God said is, "I'll give you what you need and it will be enough. I know you don't have it, but I'll give you what you need and you'll see that it's sufficient. It's enough for what you need. I'll give it to you because you don't have it. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my," what? "Strength is made perfect in weakness." We don't really want to be weak, do we? You know, the godly person says, "I acknowledge I'm weak." The carnally minded person says, "I can do this. I can handle this." So, here's a decision he made. Verse 9. "Most gladly, therefore, will I..." Okay, he's saying, "I've made a choice here. Here's what I will do. Here's my decision. Will I rather glory in my infirmities?" That was his weakness. Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." That doesn't mean he enjoyed it. It meant that he knew that God was at work in his life and he surrendered to that purpose. And so he said, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am" what? "Weak, then am I strong." The Lord said that the flesh is weak, didn't he? And the sooner we decide that we're not going to try to do it in the strength of weak flesh, the better off we will all be, because then the power and glory of God can be manifest, but not before. Because if you do it in your strength, who gets the credit for it? You do. And God said, "I'll not give my glory to another. I'm not going to share my glory with anyone." That was no more poignantly illustrated than in Acts chapter 20, when Herod Agrippa came out and gave a great oration. And the people listening said, "It is the voice of an angel." And they worshipped him as if he were a god. And he received their adulation. He received the gratification from these people who were worshipping him. And God smote him dead. And he was consumed with maggots on the very place where he fell over. Why? Because the Bible says it there, he gave not God the glory. God's not going to give his glory to another. Do you know that? And when you try to do it in your strength, you want to try to share the glory with God. But we've got to come to a place where we say, "Listen, when I'm weak, then is he strong." And I will make a decision that I'm going to accept what God said about my flesh. And I'm going to take pleasure in the fact that when I'm impotent, God is most powerful. He's all powerful. And it's then that He's at His strongest in my behalf. When I'm weak. And that leads us to not only a decision, but once you make that decision, you live your life thoroughly in dependence. The dependence upon God. It's no longer upon my flesh, no longer upon all that I am apart from Christ as I function in my self-sufficiency. Now that dependence is upon Christ. Why? He says, look, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In verse number 9. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, His dependency was no longer in His own power, in His own strength, but henceforth it was in dependence upon the power of God. The power of God. But I want you to understand something. That's enough. We think, no, I need something more. I mean, I need the Lord. We sometimes pray, Lord, strengthen me. What do you mean by that? Now, Paul prayed that we might be strengthened in the inner man. That's talking about spiritually. Right? True or false? Sometimes what we pray almost sounds like, Lord, we want You to really beef our flesh up so we can do this. Now, God has the ability to cause you to do things that apart from Him, you might never do. And maybe that would involve some measure of physical strength. But normally what it means is that we be strengthened in the inner man. Now, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, all that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound into every good work. The children of Israel wandered around for 40 years, and guess what? Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothing never wore out. God provided food for them every morning and every evening by bringing manna from heaven. He provided water from the rock. He provided sweet water at the wells of Marah by casting a tree into the well where the water was bitter. And God provided for their every need along the way. And He allowed them to physically see things take place that apart from Him would never take place. But it wasn't that God was building them up in their flesh so that they could understand, so they could come to the place where they thought they were so strong. The other, I think it was Sunday, I may have referred to this, the great sin of David. Might have been last Wednesday. But you see, God didn't want him to number those people because he didn't want him to be lifted up within himself thinking that he had some military might and strength that would cause him to have less of a dependence upon God. Because God wanted to be their all in all. He didn't want David to depend upon his military might and prowess, the size of his army, the number of his horsemen, the number of chariots that he had. He wanted him to depend implicitly upon God. And I want you to know that is enough. And in Hebrews, I want us to look and we'll finish and we'll go home right here. In chapter 11, one more time. This is good. So we see difficulty. We don't want it, but we may need it. Right? To show us the impotence and incapacity of our flesh and the absolute sufficiency of God's grace and His strength. And a decision that you have to make. That you're going to glory in your infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. That so long as I have a great God, I don't have to be lifted up in myself. And I'm making a decision. I'll gladly glory in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then I have a dependence upon the power of Christ, not the power of my flesh and what I think it has the capacity to do. But see, lastly, that this Spirit will lead you to deliverance. Deliverance. Verse number 33. Who through faith, what's the next word? Subdued. You know what that means? Yeah. There was victory. Okay? Righteousness. There was victory. Obtained promises. There was victory. Stopped the mouths of lions. There was victory. Quenched the violence of fire. There was victory. Escaped the edge of the sword. There was victory. Out of weakness were made strong. Isn't it interesting that it says out of weakness and then the next line says waxed valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Who did this? And it was just a bunch of weaklings that God used to do it. And so who got the credit for it? God. Why? It was done by faith. Not in self. Faith in Almighty God, who delivered for them what they could never deliver for themselves. Victory. You got any battles? Got any struggles? Does it seem like you're standing there in front of Mount Desperation and you have no strength to go over? You can't find the way around it, let alone to tunnel through it? You see, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, the Lord said, you could say to this mountain, "Be thou removed." Trouble is, we're trying to give God a hand. We're trying to tell Him which side of the mountain to start with. We're trying to tell Him what kind of equipment He needs to use and the timetable that the work crews need to work on to get it out of your road. And what we need to do is take a step back and say, "You know what? I'm willing to be weak, Lord, so that You can be strongest in my life. I can't handle this. I'm glad I have a God that can. Would You do for me? Would You do in me? And would You do through me what I cannot do? And I've decided that apart from You, I'm not going to. I'm going to glory in my infirmity, in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I tell you tonight, I need the power of Christ to rest upon me. You and I have things that we face in our lives every day that we're not matched for. I mean, they're just bigger than us. We need God's power and strength. We need the supernatural. Far too long I've tried to do things in my wisdom. Far too often I've tried to do things in my strength, only to fall on my face and understand how truly weak I am. Would You make the decision tonight to glory in weakness so that Christ may be glorified in you. It's a follow-up to that series of messages that were designed to lead us away from any dependence, any confidence in the flesh. Because when I'm weak, He is strong. And He will show you His grace is sufficient. It's enough for whatever you need. Do you believe it? Then let's put it into practice. That's the tough part right there. Because we can sit in church and say, "Man, that's true." It's another thing to actually live it out on Thursday morning. Amen? May God give us the grace to just lean upon Him and trust Him to do what we cannot do, which will never be done apart from Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time that we've shared together. Lord, I pray that You would allow this message to be crystallized in our hearts and minds. Lord, every person here tonight has a mountain of desperation that they cannot get over. They have a world of difficulty that they cannot overcome. And they're face to face with the incapacity of their flesh. And so, Lord, may we look to an Almighty God who can do anything but fail. And may we decide that we're going to rejoice in You and fail of any confidence in the flesh. And might we see great victory, great deliverance, because we've come to the place where we yearn to see Your grace provide victory. That which we do not have given to us in sufficient proportion to give victory, so that You may be glorified in all things. And we pray and ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.